Me. Cool. Well, let's begin. Welcome everybody to the upgrade session for SharePoint 23 upgrade overview. And my name is Sean Livingston. I'm the Senior Program Manager for Upgrade on the SharePoint product team. I work in the same team who actually runs Office 365 in the behind the scenes for running the environments, doing the upgrades, et cetera. So a lot of the stuff that I'm covering here also is the same stuff that's going on inside the Office 365 product as well, or the instance of the Office of SharePoint for Office 365. So what I'm going to cover in this particular section or session is a bunch of the basic things that we've added to upgrade in this release. Just a plug, I have an additional session on Wednesday at 9 a.m. where I'm going to go deeper into some of the more complex and arcane aspects of this. If you are managing upgrades, you'll want to know the stuff that's in that session as well. But this session will cover the basic overview, stuff that we've added, and it should give you at least a good overview of how to use the particular product. So, when I did the SharePoint conference back in 2009, I had a section that I talked about what were we thinking. And I wanted to give you kind of an update on that if anybody attended that previous session. The thing that we did last time is we were thinking very much about how to make it safe and how to give you control, mainly to get rid of some of the problems that had occurred in previous versions and problems that people had reported to us with issues doing upgrades. Then, when we started into this phase, going from 2010 product but into the 2013 product development cycle, we realized that there was a couple of key things that were standing out a lot from people. One of the big ones was they want upgrades to be safer. And then the second piece is that they want reduced outages. Big complaint, hey, my upgrades take too long. It's so complex, and then I have this big outage, and it just causes problems for our organization. And then, of course, we came up with something else a little bit innovative, and we were doing this partially to address something that we took away in 2010, which was the gradual upgrade, and also to address some of the scale aspects and schedule aspects when we start looking at big organizations. The most exemplar in this case being Office 365, where we wanted to give better control to people. Instead of us saying, hey, this is our schedule, and it may not work for you. That's not much we can do about it. Instead, we said, let's build something into the product to give you control. And of course, that'll be exposed in the Office 365 for the majority of our tenants. And of course, it's something that you can rely on inside your organization as well. So first on safer upgrades, I won't read these pieces, but I will say one thing right at the start in order to address the fact that I might get questions on this, which is, in all our previous releases, we allowed you to do an in-place upgrade, or at least from 2003 to 2007, from 2007 to 2010, and then we got rid of it in 2010 to 2013. Only for version-to-version upgrades. We still allow it for patching. But we got rid of this mainly around the aspect of safety. A large amount of the people who had issues with doing upgrades in previous versions, frequently it came from doing in-place upgrades. They would get halfway in, something would break, and now they're down. And they don't have much methods of dealing with this except plowing through it, trying to figure out what to do, or in many cases, saying, I just can't continue with this particular problem. Let me switch to a different method. Let me go to database attach instead. And so we instead, in this release, said, no, let's just switch you entirely to using database attach as an approach. And let's have you look at having an additional environment that you're setting up. Now, if you don't have extra hardware and you can't set up an additional environment, it's entirely possible for you to either use VMs as your target environment or to tear down your existing environment and build out the new one, in which case you have the same amount of outages as if you were doing an in-place upgrade anyways. A small bit more, only because of the tear down and paving of the previous servers. But really, it's not much different in that case if you want to do it in that process. But we also said, hey, you know, there's lots of other things we can do for safety. Let's find ways of telling you what things are going to break and give you some heads up on that. Let's give you an ability to do a preview of a site collection. And Anybody who remembers Visual Upgrade from 2010 will remember that there was this preview capability, but it was kind of buried, and if you didn't know it was there, you may never explore it. We've made it a little bit more obvious this release because we changed that entire section of how upgrades occur, deferred site collection upgrades, which I'm going to be spending a fair amount of time on during this session. Now, as for outages, one of the things that we realized as well is that if we could reduce how much we have to upgrade when we do a version-to-version upgrade, get rid of all those site collection upgrades, for example, get it just to database upgrades, we can cut away two-thirds of the upgrade time, at least that occurs as a single outage. And then you can go and piecemeal through site collections, and I'll cover that. And of course, we did more things to try and give you read-only time, ways of displaying to let people know that they're in a read-only mode instead of calling you saying, hey, what's going on? Why didn't I know that there was going to be maintenance? And then, of course, this last piece, as I said, giving people control, which is the heart of the deferred site collection upgrade. And this last piece about notifications is something else that helps give you more insight as an end user of what's going on. An administrator has control of that. So I'm going to delve deeper into the deferred site collection upgrades. Oops. So the main piece here was that piece about reducing the amount of impact when you go and do upgrades. When you did 2007 to 2010, even though your sites could remain in the legacy 2007 UI mode, the problem that you had was that you really had already upgraded your site collections. All you'd really not done is switch the master pages around. And there was a bunch of work that was done in the back end where people trimmed out different pieces and used the UI version value. And I mean, it worked. It worked quite well. But one of the things that we saw from that is, well, first off, all those site collections upgraded. Any problem that you would have with the upgrade of your site collection from the one experience to the other, or the new features being added, you immediately paid that price during that upgrade. So this release, we said, well, if we separate out those site collections, we already have that advantage for speed that we talked about just a couple minutes ago, but we also have this ability now to say none of the site collections have to do any sort of version-to-version upgrade. Now, fair note, if you do bring a database across that is before the April cumulative update from this year for 2010, then unfortunately there will be a small amount of build-to-build upgrades that are required, basically to get you through Service Pack 1 and to the April cumulative update. But if you've already passed that point in your upgrade state for your source databases, no upgrades required for any of the site collections at all. Now, because that we're separating this out, all your existing customizations, although I'm sure somebody will find some edge case here or there that doesn't work, but your existing customizations should just continue to work. They should be able to work on the environment, install them like you did before. In a few cases, you might have to adjust how you installed them, which I'll be covering more depth in the deep dive session on Wednesday. But in general, they should just keep working. Because after all, the site collections are still using the old experience. And not just the old experience. The old 2010 features are all installed as part of the product. Now, this is something that we did some focus groups with customers, and the starting point was frequently, I don't want to give control of people to what our upgrades are. But at the same time, they recognized that it was an issue of trying to get everybody to agree on a particular upgrade schedule was a lot of politics and infighting and frequently kind of unpleasant feelings towards the IT staff, because really, the IT staff does have this responsibility to get the environments upgraded and patched and, you know, secured. At the same time, people have business needs to not have things change all around them, especially things where they have to retrain or their customizations all break on them and they have to go and hire new people to go and do stuff about it. So historically, that's meant a lot of planning. So what, with us separating out when the site collections upgrade, we also gave you the ability to say, hey, I'm an administrator and I want to let this group of people now be able to upgrade their site collections. For example, as they've been trained on how to use it, or as a new customization that that group uses has been tested to work with the 15 experience and you've installed it. One of the things that this gives, of course, is lots more control. And although the people that we talked with originally said, hey, you know, I don't know if I'd want to do this, when we said, well, we're assuring you that you still have the control if you do not want to relinquish that 10 users. So you can take it away. By default, it's there. But if you do feel comfortable, then this is a way to reduce the amount of workload you have. For example, instead of having a bunch of calls all on one day of problems that you're experiencing, you can piecemeal it out. A few site collections here, a few test groups there. And then as you get through it, you've already experienced the type of issues that people are going to call about, whether it be a training issue, whether it be something that's not working correctly, and you can handle that at a smaller scale instead of the entire company is lighting up my phone on Monday morning after a weekend upgrade. And if you do want to, though, you can say, hey, I'm going to let you upgrade whenever you want. It's the default capability, and it just lets people know that it's there. They can ignore it, they can defer it, they can say, I'll do it later, but it's there for them by default. Now, one of the things we recognized as we were doing this, though, is if we give everybody the ability to upgrade their site collection without giving them some sort of a safety control to prevent people from upgrading sites that are going to fail, that we can pre-detect that they're going to fail, that wouldn't be a great experience. So one of the things we built was this capability called Site Collection Health Checks. And they're built into the product. It's an extensible interface. You can build your own rules if you want to. And they run on the server in the site collection under the from within the upgrade page, which I'll show a little bit later. And they can go through and detect various issues. And they can run whether you're in 14 experience or in 15 experience. You can either have the same rules for both cases or even different rules if you want. Depends on where you install them. But those rules always get run before anybody ever does a version-to-version upgrade of their site collection to go from the 14 to 15 experience. However, note, we do not run these automatically during build-to-build upgrades, only version-to-version upgrades. And one of the things that we do when we're doing these upgrades and running these checks is we run them in a repair mode. So checks can just detect pieces and tell you about it, or in certain cases where really the only thing a person's going to do is try to do one specific task, you can build a repair operation that does it for them. And we have one of the rules actually does a repair operation. If you were missing certain galleries on your site, upgrade won't succeed because the gallery is missing. When it tries to write a file into that gallery, it fails. So we have this rule that says, well, you're missing this particular gallery. Let me put it back there for you. And because it puts it back there, upgrade's able to succeed in a lot more cases than it would have without it. The other side, though, is rules can give you either warnings, things that you have to fix someday or you should fix someday, or things that should block upgrade. The ones that block upgrade, if they fail, then you can't upgrade your site collection. There's no way to upgrade the site collection until you get through whatever that is that's blocking it. So one fair warning is if you're building your own rules and you build them wrong, you could potentially be blocking site collections which otherwise would succeed in their upgrade. Now, this other feature we built was evaluation site collections. And that was, we had a lot of discussions internally. As we were deciding to use this deferred site collection upgrade in lieu of the prior visual upgrade capability, as we started pulling out visual upgrade from the code base, one of the things we recognized was we're also sacrificing the ability for people to do a preview, to see what's going to be like before they switch. So we took on some additional work, and we built this ability to make a complete copy of a site collection to a new URL. We predetermine what that URL is. Anybody who wants to change that URL, I'm sorry, we didn't build it that way. But there is also another command that we exposed as part of this, which is the copy SP site command, so you could actually copy a site collection to a new URL. But what we did here is build this new infrastructure to make these copies. They can either use a backup of a site collection, or they can use a snapshot to extract data and move it from one database to another, similar to the way the move command works for site collections in 2010. But you can enable this on specific site collections. You can disable it for all of them. You could enable it for everybody. That's the default. And by one of the pieces we got a feedback was, well, what if people make too many? There'll be too much storage used. Well, They are a copy of a site collection, so they will make a complete copy of all the documents and everything else that's part of them. So one of the things we built in was a limit that says anything that's beyond a particular size, we're not going to allow you to do this as an end user. A farm administrator can still intervene and go and do this on their own if they want. Any size site collection, they can make a copy of. But end users, we restrict it to smaller ones, down in the 100 meg size, which should be a majority of small team sites. Now, the other side about evaluation, though, that we had a bit of concern with is when you did preview mode, you were switching to the new UI on the same content, in the same location. Any change you made affected that content, which on one hand is good, and on the other hand is bad. And specifically the way it's bad is if you went into preview mode in 2007, or in the 2007 UI into 2010 UI, what happened was you shouldn't make any changes at that point in time. No schema changes to your lists. It was really just to take a temporary look and then switch back again or roll forward. The problem is if you made various types of changes, especially ones that introduced new HTML that may not be compatible with the previous experience, when you switch back, it may not work correctly anymore. Now, it's easily fixed if you know what you broke, but we wanted to change how that worked. So instead, what we did is, because we have this complete copy, this whole new site collection, we don't want people to use that one, because it really is a complete copy, but it's not going to be there forever. It's just an evaluation. And we considered things like, well, what if we made the site collection read-only? But how valuable really is it if I give you a preview and you can't actually do anything there? So we said, nah, a read-only copy has a little bit of value, but it's a lot more valuable if you can actually do changes and edits and whatever you want to do there. If you're testing out a customization, you could make a copy of a site collection, evaluate that customization against just that site, see what breaks, fix it, and then get rid of that evaluation site and do your upgrade for real. But what we also built in was an expiry on site collections. And it's not exactly the same code as that very old feature that we have that expires sites that aren't used, but it's doing something, at least in a more constrained sense. When you make a copy, it specifies the time when it'll expire, and on that date, it'll expire it and it'll delete it into the recycle bin. And of course, you can control that a bit if you want to as a farm administrator. End users don't have any control of that whatsoever, though. Now, basically the way to describe the whole deferred site collection upgrade is that you're giving control, if you use the whole feature set, you're giving control of when the site admins choose to do their upgrades. And I mean site collection admin, not web admins within individual subwebs. But that's your choice to give them that ability. And that's the last bullet point. The farm admins choose whether it's available or not. But by default, it is available. And of course, the health checks just make sure that you're ready to do the upgrade, because if you're not, you definitely shouldn't be doing it. Some of these parameters that are listed here, I'm not going to go into great depth, but it's worth going through TechNet and reading about how those pieces work. And there's been some great upgrade documentation written by our documentation crew. They've done a really, really good job this time, even better than what we had last time. So you can go through that and read about how these particular parameters work and how they can impact administrators, site collection administrators, to do upgrades or not. I'll be going into some of this in much more detail during the deep dive as well. Now, one of the side effects of doing this as well was when we upgrade a site collection, what happens if everybody pushes upgrade all in the same time? I know it's not realistic, but that's the straw man that's immediately thrown up for any particular design decision. What if everybody does it all at once? It's so popular, everybody pushes the button. Well, we thought about it. We thought very hard about it. And we came up with several throttle mechanisms built into the system so that the two places that you can really be impacted by an upgrade, mainly front ends, the memory used as an upgrade occurs, several hundred meg and more, depending on how much customizations or additional upgrade actions are going through, how big the subwebs, how many feature activations are, et cetera, can expand the amount of memory used. It's temporary, usually for about a minute or so, but if everybody did it all at once, that load could be pretty high. So we put in one to limit how many occur on each process, which within each web application's application pool. And two, the second place is the database itself. When you have too many upgrade sessions all at once, you could drain the IOPS away, and, well, the performance of the overall system may not be very good at that point. So we did some testing. We came up with some numbers. We made some initial projections, and then after testing, we felt pretty good about them. Now, they're not aggressive. If you want more aggressive numbers, there's ways to configure them and give more or less throttle available to end users. But what happens is, when you upgrade any site collection, in order to take advantage of these throttles, we add it to a queue. And this queue is in each content database, and it basically says, this site collection has been requested to do a particular type of upgrade, whether it be a build-to-build, or whether it be a version-to-version upgrade. And it's this entry, this upgrade worker item, is sitting there in this particular database, waiting for some process to pick it up. There's three possible processes that could pick it up. One, if you're in the web application and you meet all the constraint requirements for how big the site collection is and otherwise, and that there's nobody else currently using all of the throttle limit of the web app, then it can do it in process of the web application itself. However, if it's too big or there's too many people doing upgrades at the same time, then it's queued, and then the timer service can pick it up. And so the timer service can go through a content job and upgrade the site collections that are queued, going with the oldest queue to the most recent queue. And just for those who are always concerned about queues, yes, there is a way to go in and say, I want to eliminate this one particular item from the queue if it got stuck for some reason. We haven't had that happen, but we built that in defensively, just in case you run into that particular case, i.e., somebody queued the 4 gigabyte site collection, or 40 gigabyte site collection, and you're waiting for it to upgrade, and it'll take a little while. The last way that you can also do an upgrade, take one of those items out of the queue, is through PowerShell itself, Upgrade SP Site. You can add a site to the queue, you can forcibly upgrade one of the sites, and you can even ignore the throttles if you need to. And I'll be going into that a little bit more depth in the deeper session. But nonetheless, every queued site collection is now tracked, an individual entry. So over time, as you go through the 2013 product, you'll do build-to-build upgrades. You may do version-to-version upgrades if there are sites that you brought from 2010. And then you're going to have an entry in the database for every single queued item saying it's either currently queued and waiting, or it completed, or it failed. And you can see this information if you want through PowerShell. You can review this information. Oh, and let me go back for a second. One thing I did miss here is, if you are in the middle of an upgrade, let's say you initiate an upgrade and it fails halfway through because the power went out or the process died, well, it's still queued. And since it didn't terminate in an expected way, then what will happen is the timer job will pick it up and resume the upgrade. That's the default that would normally happen. There's other ways you can pick it up again, but the timer job will probably pick it up faster than any human will because it runs every minute in the background. So let me do a quick demo here, assuming everything will work fine, hoping everything will work fine. So I have a site collection that I have configured up for this demo environment. As a matter of fact, I'll just show something here. This is running off of O365. Yes, we actually do have some farms that are running 15 bits at this particular point in time, the 2013 bits, should I say. But here I've created some site collections, and I did a little bit of pre-work last night to give them evaluation sites because, unfortunately, if I tried to do them on the fly, they take too long to create because it's copying that whole site collection. So we have them occur at a different point in time, and I did that beforehand. But one of the things that I've been able to do here is these site collections, I can go through and I can notify people and say, hey, an upgrade's ready. And this is just calling some of the core product itself, this notification mechanism we built in to let people know, hey, there's an upgrade waiting for you. But the other thing I can do, if I have a particular site collection, is I can go and I can say, is upgrade available to you or not? And something went wrong. Let's see if it does it again. Tempting fate. Nonetheless, if that was working, there's a page that can come up that just says, here's some statistics about the site, whether it's in 2010 experience or when it's in the 2013 experience. Here's a link to where the upgrade logs are. I'll go into that a little bit later. And is the user allowed to upgrade the site collection or not? The default is yes when we upgrade from upgrade the tenants in SharePoint Online, but you get to control that even as a farm administrator for your enterprise tenancies. So back to the upgrade demo. Here's a site collection. This is actually on a 15 farm, but here's what it might look like if it's on a 14 farm as well, on a 2010 farm. And you're looking at it and you say, hey, it's a 2010 site collection. Does everything a 2010 site collection can do? All the pieces do the same things. If I navigate around, here actually I'll show one particular place where it's a little different. It's this little wee thing down here that you wouldn't otherwise see. Health checks and then site collection upgrade, just hidden here right at the very bottom. These are the major differences that you see in this area. But notice something else has happened. I went to a different page. Now, what I originally did is I closed this bar. I just went and clicked close. But when I refresh this page, this is one of the new things that we built in, is to notify people saying, hey, there's an actual upgrade available for you if you want to do it. In this case, the bar only shows up for the site collection administrator. It doesn't show up for every user. So if somebody isn't the site collection administrator's group, they don't see it at all. I see I'm tempting fate by pushing too many buttons. Okay. So slight bug here. You can see that it says SharePoint 15. Somehow that slipped through. Don't worry, a bug has been filed already and somebody is working on fixing that as we speak. Now, if you are the site collection administrator and site collection upgrade is available to you, you see a bar like this. And I can say, yeah, I don't want to see this for a while. Click remind me later, and it'll go away for a pre-configured amount of time that the farm administrator controls. Default is 30 days, but they can change that to 5 days, or they can say zero. If they say zero, you can't, that message won't even show up. When that remind me later time expires, this would show up again. So let's say, well, I want to actually do the upgrade. Well, I can click the start now, and it brings me to the site collection upgrade page, where there's links to a couple of the controls, one to actually do the site collection upgrade, and the other to request an evaluation site. I'm first going to show the evaluation site piece. So here we go. I already did this. Otherwise, you would see a slightly different message here. The message would be, do you want to create an evaluation site? Yes, click yes. It says, okay, it's queued. It'll take 1 to 2 days to create. But I did this last night around 10 p.m., and it created them overnight, and they're available this morning. So if I click here, I'm going to do this in a new tab just to make sure that I don't overwrite this particular tab. Here's this other location. Notice the URL is a little different. So the first one was demo. The second one is demo-eval. Eval is automatically added to the URL. If there's collisions of names, it'll do some additional work to try and make sure there's no collisions. But this site hasn't been upgraded yet. And second, you can see that this is an evaluation site. It's a complete copy of the site, hasn't yet been upgraded, and it will expire. It tells you this. If you try to make this message go away, it'll keep coming back every time. Now, this first message about the evaluation, that shows up for every user. So if you're trying to take screenshots, by all means, click the X, make it go away, take your screenshots. As soon as you refresh the page, the bar will show up again. So let me do the upgrade over here. Now, note, can't create an eval of an eval. That's on purpose. We don't want a proliferation of a large number of evaluation site collections spawned off of an initial one. But I'm going to say, hey, I want to upgrade this site collection. And yes, I'm ready to go and do this. I'm sure, because this is an evaluation site. What's the worst that can happen? Doing a demo. I shouldn't say that. Okay. So first thing it does, as you can see here, is it does a check running the health checks. And this is a long-running operation, could take a couple minutes. So it goes through and it does these checks, and then it'll refresh back. And when it refreshes back, then it says upgrade is in progress. Now, the first thing here is what it now is in the state that it is in right at this particular millisecond, it's probably past it now, is it queued the site collection. And the UI has yet to pick up that any upgrade session has actually occurred beyond originally queuing it. So I'm just going to refresh it early. And it's still waiting. And we'll wait a little bit longer. This is one of those watch pot never boils type of thing. Now, I'm going to do something else at the same time, just to prepare for this. I'm going to bring up another copy or another tab for this. And the reason I'm going to do this other tab is so that I can show what the initial site looks like while I'm doing this. So there's the original demo site, there's the message. With any luck, it'll start picking up the upgrade. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to have to switch to an emergency deck. And it hasn't worked yet. Okay. I'll show you what it looks like if it was working. Just because I'm not going to be stymied by this. Does everybody see this? No? I can't tell. Can anybody see the nothing? Perfect. There we go. Okay. Just walking you through what we already saw from a slideware side. Click through, created the evaluation site. This is the message you would have seen if I had if I was creating the eval site on the fly. Yep, ready to do it. Here's where I'm doing the upgrade. It initially says waiting, or it's getting queued. Then upgrade is in progress. And then you see this message at the top. As we're in the middle of upgrading, we give a new message. So the users, if they see any unusual behavior, and they will, it actually shows them, hey, we're in the middle of doing an upgrade. Now, originally when we built this feature, what we did is we said, hey, the site collection is just activating features and doing some other stuff. You currently don't turn it read-only while we're doing doing those. Why would we do that during upgrade? But as we went more into it, we realized there could be some problems that people would be, some edge cases that we didn't want people to necessarily be exposed to if they started editing list schemas and other stuff while we were upgrading them. So what we did is we set the site collection to a read-only state while we're doing this. Because here's what a person might see. So you saw the original site collection, looks nice and happy, just that bar at the top. But then as we're doing upgrade, there's a certain point in time, and yes, we did think about fixing this, we talked about it at depth, but we ended up not fixing this particular piece, is the way images work in, they have a bunch of different images in, and then it selects down to the specific one. So that you don't have to download large numbers of images, you just download like the big super images. The problem is there's a temporary period of time where the CSS has changed, but the page doesn't have it all completely synced together. So you temporarily see this on a web as it goes through and upgrades each individual web's UI. But as an administrator of the site collection, at some point in time, with any luck, which at least in that case when I did it last night, I had luck, unlike the demo right now, but it worked. So it upgraded successfully, and you'll notice this one little piece here at the bottom, which is I have this link right here to the log file. You're saying, but it's a log file. Like, that's on the server, right? I can't see that. Well, it turns out we actually make a copy of that log or a subset of the log at a different logging level, and we actually put it into a new directory inside the site collection, into a maintenance gallery, maintenance log in the gallery section. And if I click on that log, it's a big text file, and there's all the upgrade session. We don't expect end users to use this, by the way. We expect this to be something where they have a problem, and they contact you, and you say, well, when did you do this? Oh, it was 3 days ago. Where did you do it? On my site collection. Do you have the log? Yes, here it is. And you can find most of the problems right from here. If you need to, the server-side log still has even more detail, but it's there by default. And for more clever users, you'll be able to go through and find this, be able to work through that and determine problems on their own, assuming there's any problems at all. In this case, it was successful, but the log's still there for reviewing. And of course, when the site collection's finished, you have this working site collection that a person can experience. Now, I'm going to switch back. And we'll see if it's... Hey! Nothing up my sleeves. Yeah. It actually, as you can see, it actually did work in the background. And if I went to the UI of the site collection, back here, it's the old UI. And there's the new UI. So, yeah, it took a little longer than I expected, but that's probably because there's a bunch of other people doing demos at the same time. Key thing here is, it does actually work. This feature is built into the product. You have control of it as an administrator, and as an end user, you have a lot of rich capabilities here that you wouldn't otherwise have had any ability or even insight into. So that's the main new feature that we've included. Now, one additional piece is around this is a special case, which is, well, what if I have personal site collections? Well, we looked into this, and we realized there was a particular point where you might have some challenges. So there was some special work done in regards to my site hosts and personal sites. And that is that the experience change, upgrading the individual site collections, we don't really want that to be the end users that are doing that. We want that to be farm admin controlled. So what we have is the my site host by default, when you upgrade a content database from 2010, keeps working. Same 2010 experience. However, if a person visits, they still see the 2010 UI for their site collections. But if you upgrade the My Site host, it does work behind the scenes to say, okay, as a user visits, let me go upgrade their site collection for them. Basically, let me queue it. And for the short period of time, a person will visit their site collection, and it'll still be the 2010 UI, even though the site collection is in the My Site host is in the 2013 experience. But that is just for a short period of time, and it'll get upgraded in the background. But the key thing here is we always want the My Site host to be upgraded before any personal site collections are. And so that's why we did it this way. Now, what if it fails? Well, if it fails, we go through and in the background, first off, if it failed while it was upgrading, that queue that I mentioned earlier, we'll pick it back up. Timer job will go and try and do the upgrade, assuming it failed in an unexpected way. If it failed in an expected way, i.e. there was a feature missing, there was a missing language pack, there was some other problem, then what will happen is the My Site host, next time the user visits, will attempt to retry that upgrade again. But it won't continuously bombard the system with requests over requests after requests. It'll do this for a few times, it'll stop, and then it'll do it again a little later. It has some built-in delays to make sure you're not overloading the system with upgrade requests. And of course, if everybody in your company all visits the day or the minute after you upgrade the My Site host, it's no big deal. They'll all get queued. They'll keep being able to work. And the new experience will show up sometime in the near future as the queues get processed through by the timer jobs. So, here's a simple little animation to show this, because it is a little bit complex to describe. So First user goes through and visits. They see their My Site experience to the My Site host. If they visit their personal site, they see the personal site experience in the 2010 experience. And one thing I should point out, you see here I'm saying 14 mode, 15 mode, because if you look in the technical documentation, that's what it is actually called. We have a value that tracks the individual site collection value, compatibility range or compatibility level, that says, is it 14 or 15? It doesn't say 2010 or 2013. So user Y visits their site, and of course, it creates a 14 mode personal site. You see, this is one of the beauty of the deferred site collection upgrade is we have the ability to create a site collection in the old experience. Technically, you could hack your way through and do this in 2010 to create a 2007 UI. It was completely unsupported, and I really hope that you didn't do it. It doesn't work very well, and it's definitely not supported. But it's completely supported in 2013 to create 2010 experience sites. As a farm admin, if you don't want that ability, there's ways of turning that off. I'll describe it in more detail on Wednesday. So the farm admin comes in and upgrades the site collection, the My Site host. And now what happens? If user X visits again, well, in the background, it queues the personal site. And at some point in time, if they visit before it's upgraded, they get the old experience. But the timer job in the background will end up upgrading that site collection. And when it does, then the next time the user visits, they'll see the new experience. Now, if user Y visits, well, same thing. It queues their upgrade. And let's go and see user Z. They go through, and when they visit for the first time, you notice it creates a 15 personal site collection in this case, because the system is aware of the mode of the My Site host, and therefore creates the site collection according to what build it's at. And if they visit, they see the experience. So with that behind, I'll go into a few other a little bit more complex things that we've added to the release. The first one is snapshot upgrades. So first, a little bit of background for SQL snapshots for those who aren't aware. If you have either the Enterprise Edition or you have the Developer Edition, it's possible of SQL, it's possible to do snapshots, which basically does a copy-on-write operation for the pages as you make changes. So basically, you can almost think of it as a clone of the database to a point in time, read-only, and at first it takes effectively no or practically no space. But as you make more and more changes to the original database, the read-write copy, then it starts getting more and more of a delta in the background of storage that it takes up. There is a slight performance hit associated with it, so it's not for everybody. You can't take it on a primary mirror. It's unfortunate. I really wish that it could. It can be used with the always-on feature, but it doesn't create a snapshot everywhere. It only creates it on the machine that you did it. And you can't, it has to be on a NTFS. It can't be on FAT32 or RAW. And of course, the last thing is you can't use it with file stream. So this feature is very useful. At the same time, it has limits. And those limits, of course, do apply to how we use it. So how do we use it? Well, what we did is we built in a capability in order to help reduce downtime when you're doing build-to-build upgrades. And what we do is we say, okay, if you have the ability to do snapshots on SQL and you specify the parameter in to upgrade SP site or SP content database, then we will go and take a snapshot of the database in the background and we'll upgrade the original database where we point all the users to the snapshot temporarily. So they basically go from a read-write experience to a read-only experience against the snapshot. They can't make any changes, it won't let them. And in the background, the upgrade thread goes and upgrades that database. If it fails, it can roll that snapshot or the database back to the previous state using the snapshot. And if it succeeds, it points the users back to the read-write now upgraded database and then gets rid of the snapshot behind the scenes. And I'll show that in a sec. Now, the one thing that we also, as we went through this, we allow you to upgrade the site collections as part of this operation, but we don't advise that you do that. We probably could have even considered removing that ability, that if you use Snapshot, you couldn't upgrade the site collections, or it would automatically specify the no B2B child operation. But that's another thing that we also built in as well. I'll cover that in more detail on Wednesday. But basically, it upgrades the database, but it doesn't upgrade any of the site collections within it. So if it has to do a rollback operation, you don't have any site collections in a weird state because you haven't upgraded any of the site collections in that case. So here's a quick animation for how this feature works. Users first initially working in the source database. They're making changes, they're doing stuff. The farm admin issues the upgrade using the snapshot operation, and a snapshot is created, and this is read-only. Behind the scenes, it adds this new config object for the snapshot, keeps track of this, and now that it's got this, it sends all the users, because that an upgrade is in progress on this database, it now detects there's a snapshot and sends all the users to the snapshot copy. So they can't make any new changes to the database at this point in time. Only the upgrade session has access to continue to write to it. Even timer jobs and other stuff, they'll be in a read-only state. So the user's taken care of. But in the background now, we need to upgrade the database. And notice, I've left the site collections here back in the original orange color because I skipped all the site collections. Upgraded the database, none of the site collections, and now that everything's fine, I repoint the users back to those site collections again. But then I have to clean up. So I clean up the snapshot. I go and I get rid of it, and we're back to a working state again. The config object for the snapshot is removed, the snapshot itself is gone, but users basically had a very low amount of time while the database upgraded, because this is a build-to-build. You're not doing any of the site collections in this case. It's a pretty short amount of upgrade. In many cases, it might be 5 or 10 minutes of time, but they had access to the database in a read-only capacity through the entire operation. Now, why I led with a little bit about Snapshot is there is a caveat to this, or a couple caveats, at least as it applies to SharePoint. First off, if you are using mirroring, you're not going to be able to use this feature. I'm sorry. I really wish we could find a way to get through that. And we'll continue trying to find ways of making improvements where it'll also work while you're doing mirroring or always on. But unfortunately, it doesn't give us that ability right now. And the other thing is if you're using the file streams with SQL, especially if you're using the file stream RBS provider, then you also can't use this feature. Because when it does snapshots, it does not have the ability to do snapshots of RBS file stores. So that's the other second major issue with using this capability. But if you don't have either of these two or the other issues, like you're trying to make your databases on in fat disks, then you can actually use this feature to reduce your downtime by quite a lot. That users just go to read-only, and you don't have to have large amounts of extra storage space because a snapshot really only needs just the amount of storage extra to what you've changed, and it only does it for a short period of time. So I'll go into a couple other things that we've added here. First, you've already seen it. The system status bar. That bar that sits at the very top of the site collection that says various interesting things to end users or administrators. Now, in almost all cases, the messages are oriented for everybody who uses the site collection. And only in one case is it specifically oriented only to the site collection administrator. And the reason we do that is most messages really are important to all users. And only one, i.e., when we go to upgrade the site collection, it makes no sense to end users to know that you could upgrade the site collection because they can't do anything about it. But the farm administrator could, the site collection administrator could. And so when the site collection administrator goes to the site, they see that. But other things that you can see here, I won't go through them all, but it's worth noting that there's various places in the product that can, like if a database is read-only, et cetera, that can say, hey, we're currently doing something. You shouldn't be able to, or the reason you can't edit a document, for example, is because the database is currently read-only, the site collection is read-only, either at the farm admin or site collection admin request, et cetera. And, of course, you have an evaluation site, please don't add any documents here because when it gets deleted, it'll be gone. It'll go to the recycle bin. Now, this bar is at the very top of the site collection. It's not designed to be moved around. It's not designed to be edited. It's not designed to be to host custom messages at this point in time. Something we might do in the future, but that's not what it does right now. Now, because that it's possible you've edited your site collection in ways that the existing status bar would just completely not be available, the one that shows up under the ribbon, we did some changes, and this is tied to one of the core rendering controls. So as long as your page is really a SharePoint page and has that core rendering controls, then this should show up for you. And of course, I showed it earlier, you can close it for an individual session and it'll go away until you refresh the page. Now, the last bullet point here is, it is available by default, but you could go in at a web app, or sorry, at a site collection level and say, I really don't want to show the system status bar. We don't expect people to use this, we hope people don't use this, to just make it go away on all their internal site collections, because it's there for a really good reason. But we did get a request from certain people in regards to the big internet-facing sites for a company. Some really big company like Ferrari.com, Hawaiian Airlines, etc., they probably don't want a message bar showing up at the top. If they do, they can leave it at the default. But if they don't want it to show up, they can say, no, I want to hide the system status bar. It's a property on the site collection, and they'll just make it go away. It won't show up. But it won't show up for any of the messages. Now, the other feature we built, I showed it on the when I was showing the Office 365 administration console, is there's a method for you to send email. Now, there was already email in the product, but there were some limitations on some of the design for the way the email was done, specifically around customizing some of the information that would be on it. So we built a new capability, a template-based email system. So for certain specific classes of sending email built into the system, we have templates that are localized to all the languages as part of language packs. But let's say you have a particular case of a language where you want to change the message to maybe put in something like contact the administrator at, you know, at this phone number or something along those lines. You could actually change that information in the template, and it can be overridden through features so that you can actually send a slightly modified message out to people without doing that slightly questionable practice of going and modifying the out-of-box files. You can actually just override the files that we have using this new system for these cases. And I'd love to get feedback of from people about how useful this is, because it's kind of a competing method for how we're doing this versus some of the previous template email that we had within the product, which did require you to go in and edit the actual SharePoint out-of-box files. Now, a couple last pieces here. Miscellaneous stuff. Anybody who is really sharp-eyed probably noticed that the log file that I showed earlier was slightly different from the log file you've seen back in 2010 and earlier. The log file in the past was a little bit arcane. You had to do a lot of fiddling around. This one you don't. This one is ULS-based, or same with, logging structure as ULS. It is a tab-separated values format. So we've put new information into here. You could bring it into Excel if you want. I already mentioned there's a separate log for site collections. But the other thing that's in there, same as ULS, is correlation IDs. So when you go and you do a session, there's this correlation ID tracking this particular upgrade session versus other upgrade sessions. We've made some changes to the error codes to put in actual information to help. Let's say you actually contact Microsoft and say, hey, this site collection can't succeed. It always fails, and we don't think there's anything that's on our fault that's causing it. Those error codes can be used to look back into the source code so that we can identify particular troublesome areas and either produce KB articles or fixes accordingly to help you through those. But it's also useful for yourself to go through and Bing for an answer, figure out, hey, does anybody else know about that particular problem, and what do I do to get around it? Now, we had some progress on this at RTM, but it's not universal. In order to make these work universally, we have to go down and plug in a bunch of stuff down to get to the code level. But we did put in codes for several really important high areas throughout the product, and this is an area that we'll just keep investing in over time to make the upgrade system that much more tied in to help us debug, help you debug where the problems are within the system. And then if you want to categorize through these, one of the things that we've done and I'll say we're planning it for a future update, but it's being worked on. I do expect it in sometime in the near future, is to give a little bit more detail about when you're entering into a particular sequence or action and when you're exiting it. Because even still with the upgrade as it is at RTM, the log can sometimes be a little bit arcane to follow, especially if you're trying to figure out, hey, did it actually start the feature upgrade yet? Did it finish yet? So we recognize some problems kind of late, and we've been looking at making some improvements. And the results, you won't notice it at first, but if you're actually doing anything that parses through the logs, it'll probably be a very welcome improvement. Already showed the maintenance log, but there's this new gallery that's created. Automatically, whenever you do a build-to-build or a site collection upgrade for version-to-version, it creates this new gallery in the site collection. If it's missing, it recreates it. And then it puts in this log, the site collection upgrade log, whether it's a build-to-build or a version-to-version upgrade. But it's basically deep into the system, we fork each message that comes through and say, hey, is this logging level appropriate to send in the site collection, or is the message that's coming in, should it only go to the file system log? And then we send it to either both or only one of those two locations, i.e. the file system log. And the results are you actually have a self-contained site collection only upgrade log. And the reason we reduced the logging level, for those who might be interested, is we wanted to reduce how much PII might be exposed. We didn't want end users to necessarily to see all the inner workings of machine names and other stuff. So we reduced how much information it exposes that way. Now, a couple last pieces, just for those who are doing upgrades and want to know, well, how does all this stuff fit together? What do I need to do next? A little bit of an overview on farm upgrade. So first off, just in general, I never recommend anyone diving into an upgrade without understanding what it does first. So I recommend planning it out. If you just jump in, you might be successful, but you just as likely might be unsuccessful and have to learn more on the fly, shall we say. So as I said earlier, some really great documentation has been created this release. Go through the documentation and posters. There's been training that's actually been posted online, videos, and as we refresh those, you'll see very up-to-date information about the RTM upgrade story. If you go look on TechNet, there's links to those right now. And I highly recommend trying it out on a test environment. I've gotten feedback, by the way, from people in the past saying, I'm doing an engagement with a customer or at my company, I want to do test environments, but I keep getting told, no, we don't have budget for that. Highly recommend test environments. Upgrades are very complex beasts. Now, we've done everything we can so far to try and make these safer. If you have any suggestions otherwise, come see me afterwards, and I'd love to take notes on that. But even with all those things that we've tried to build and make it safe, it's still possible you can run into issues. At the very least, you could run into process issues. What do I do next? How do I do that? Those are just things that are worthwhile learning from a test environment. Book learning is great. Experience is also really useful. But if you can do that, it'll make your upgrades a lot more successful. And we've also recommended that you don't jump into an upgrade by just building out a new farm and throwing databases onto it and hope for the best. We recommend that you find out what your farm came from first. What was the performance? What customizations did you have? How many site collections do you have? What are the connections to profile? What accounts do we use? All those type of information. So gather data, do farm surveys. And once you have that information, use that as a method of gathering data. Now, there is something that I am hoping to release sometime in the near future, but I can't say when at this point in time, that is a PowerShell-based script to help you go and gather this data from a 2010 farm. As that becomes more of a reality, we'll make sure we make a blog post about it so people are aware on where they can go and get that. But it's just using out-of-the-box PowerShell on 2010 to gather data, and technically anybody can do that today if they know how to do coding in PowerShell. Now, the other side is plan for how long your upgrade's going to take, plan what you're going to do if you have problems. If you don't do that, well, it can be a bit of a last-minute problem for people. Now, actually doing the upgrade, I highly recommend you get rid of orphan items. There is a couple orphan items because of the product itself. And those three, the two main ones are PowerPoint broadcast sites. The former WAC, the Office Web Apps Experience, was something you added on top of SharePoint. And therefore, it installed things like these new site definitions for PowerPoint broadcast into it. But in 2013 release cycle, it's no longer part of the product. It's now a separate server. It no longer installs anything in the product. So those site definitions went away. The functionality that they had went away. So you have to get rid of those. Assuming you were even using them. If you aren't using them, this is a no-op. But if you were using them, go detect this beforehand and get rid of the site collections based on that particular template before you upgrade them. Otherwise, you'll go upgrade the database and then you'll have to delete them after the fact as the system tells you, hey, I found some errors when I tried to upgrade the database because there were some site collections that were missing or site collection templates that were missing. The other one was the web analytics. So the web analytics in the last release had some performance challenges, and the team went back and took a hard look on how to do an even better job on it. So they actually ended up, in order to prevent that same performance problem from the previous one from showing up in 2013, they had to actually cauterize it. And in cauterizing it, that means that it just doesn't work. So any of the site collections that have the existing web analytics parts, they'll be able to upgrade, but those web parts will not function. So if you have them, you'd want to go through and remove those particular instances. And you can do it before or after the upgrade, as the case may be. And of course, you may have some customizations that you bought from someone who no longer is in business or isn't willing to support in 2013, in which case, those may be some cases that you need to remove those. But hopefully that's not too often, and because most of the stuff should be compatible without any changes at all. Now, one other thing is if you are doing upgrades, I highly recommend that you upgrade the services farm first. We were a little bit vague in 2010 about which version or which farms should move forward first if you have both federated services and content farms. We're being very explicit this release. Whether you're doing version-to-version upgrade or whether you're doing build-to-build upgrade, always upgrade the services farm first. And the reason for that is pretty simple. It's easier for us to build backwards compatibility into services interfaces than it is to build it forwards compatibility into clients in this case. So that's why we've made this choice, and we're being very clear about that. So unlike last release where it was a little bit more vague, we want you to know that that's the way to do it. If you want to reduce the amount of time people are having problems, you can leave the old farms running. If you want to reduce or when you want to control when people can do upgrades of site collections to 2010 or to 2013 experience, you can use the compatibility range. I'll cover that on Wednesday. And you can install the customizations on the new farm. Once again, I'll cover that on Wednesday as well. I'm not going to read through this. Just this is pretty well common sense. If you're going to do your upgrade, make sure you do backups. Do your upgrade of your services, as I just mentioned, then do your databases. But there is a little couple tricks in here, like Project Server, Secure Store. Just go and learn more about this from TechNet. Learn what you need to do to get those particular services upgraded. It'll help you out a lot. And then, of course, by default, you don't have to upgrade any of the site collections to the new experience, so you can do that at your leisure. Or, if you want, as a farm administrator, you can have control and upgrade whichever ones you want, whenever you want. Of course, lastly, just confirm that everything's upgraded. The last thing you want to do is to say, hey, mission accomplished, walk away and find that there's still this war that you have to fight. Now, last piece here is if you do want to get rid of the ability to self-service upgrade, I will be covering it in more detail on Wednesday, but here at just a high level is the compatibility range values that you would set to have some control over this. And lastly, search itself. You should re-index the content after you're finished, just so that the 2013 search can index 2010 farms, content farms. But once the content databases are upgraded to 2013, you really do want to go through and re-index those again so it can pick up some of the new properties and other things that it's aware of natively. So that's all I have. If you would be so kind, really like to get an evaluation from you. Tell me how good or how bad I did. And if you have any particular questions on the product, I'm happy to take questions now. If I can see you. Yep. Thanks. Is there a microphone?
There's a mic here.
Okay.
Can you hear? You had mentioned specifically that the file stream provider was not supported. I was wondering if third-party providers for remote blob storage would be a supported scenario.
Oh, you mean during the provider during the SQL snapshotting?
Yeah.
Okay, so providers that do not rely on the file store, completely supportable. As long as when we're making that copy, that if those are in another location, they'll be pointing to the same copy of that file. So as long as they don't do one of those processes where they allow you to edit the same blob over and over, because if that's the case, that's a problem. Because if you edit that same blob in the source, it would also edit it in the destination site. But as long as they work by the standard way that the remote blob storage works, where every time you make an edit, it actually edits a completely new copy, then you shouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Sean? Question about the SQL snapshot.
Yes.
So I wasn't exactly clear on what a good scenario for the SQL snapshot upgrade would be.
Sure.
I thought I read it was only build-to-build upgrade. So can it be used from 2010 to 2013?
No. So the upgrade using SQL snapshots is only designed around build-to-build. Because when we go from 2010 to 2013, remember I said that if you have a database, let's say you take an RTM 2010 database, mm-hmm. and you try to upgrade that to 2013, those site collections still need to be upgraded before they're even functional. So doing a snapshot isn't going to help because they're not going to be able to use those sites. So it's not intended for version to version at this time. Maybe in the future it will be, but at this point in time it's not used for that. But it is definitely a helpful tool for you when you do build-to-build upgrades.
Okay.
Because that you can defer all the upgrades of the site collections to begin with, you can defer the upgrade of the database to begin with, and you're running an N-1 bits to database back compat mode, which we talked about back in 2010, and many people have been using, whether they realize it or not. But you can then upgrade the database without the site collections, and everything keeps running by using this process.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
Okay, yes, on upgrades, if you recall going from 2007-2010 on the Fab 40 applications and even famous third-party apps like, let's mention their names, NewsGator and under the rest,
mm-hmm.
very, very painful. Which ones do you know now? Can you warn us about right now that we need to prepare a lot more, or is it a better thing going from 2010 to 13?
Well, if you were able to install one of the site definitions and have it work correctly in 2010, it should still be able to work completely correct in 2013 while in the 2010 UI mode. That doesn't mean that it'll run correctly while it's in the 2013 UI mode. There's more changes to the UI. Master pages have changed around, new controls, etc. But at least to run in the legacy 2010 experience, yes, you should be able to do that. Now, specifically on the Fab 40, though, I would give the caveat that those have actually been unsupported now for two releases. If you still have them, I highly recommend that you go on a search and destroy mission. You really don't want those around. They're holding you back. They're making your agility much more reduced than you really want it to.
Okay, so no real warnings then for the third parties, the NewsGators, the Metalogics, and those guys?
Sure. I can't comment on what their level of readiness are. Though I do know that we've had many of those companies come in earlier and work with us on an upgrade kitchen to get an earlier release of this and do work on it. So I know several of those companies are very much aware of this ability and have been working hard on it. You would want to talk to those companies to see if they provide an updated version of the solutions so that they work in both 2010 and the 2013 experience. But they should work by default.
Have you performed any upgrades by attaching a content database to a new farm, one that's freshly built, and you take the 2010 content database?
Yes. That is exactly the method that we recommend doing it. It's database attach. Take your databases, attach them to the 2013 farm, it upgrades them, and you should be able to use them without any additional changes.
Thank you.
it's a fairly simple process, and the amount of time that it takes is much shorter than it would have been in the past. We've seen, I won't give exact performance numbers because your results may vary based on hardware and what data is inside your site collections, but we've seen, I'd say, roughly a two-thirds reduction in the amount of time it took to upgrade one of those databases than it did in the previous release.
Thank you.
Through our new mechanisms. Any other questions?
Any chances to upgrade from 2007 to 2013?
No.
No, we need to upgrade to 2010 and then to 2013.
Yes. we recognize that that is a concern for people. This release, one of the big changes we did is if you did an upgrade in 2010, for example, from 2007, those who've done it or have been planning for it recognize that you have to upgrade to Service Pack 2 minimum before you can upgrade to 2010. This release, we said, no, we don't want to force you to have to update the service pack on the previous version first. So you can upgrade from whether it's 2010, service pack 1, latest cumulative update. You should be able to upgrade to the databases to 2013. But 2007, that's a little bit too much. So we don't allow that.
Thank you.
Hello, Sean. Thank you very much for the presentation. Just a quick question for you. We are in the beginning of our SharePoint journey. We're actually implementing SharePoint 2010 right now. Mm-hmm. With the intent of upgrading to 2013 soon. Would you have any recommendations or guidelines for people that are implementing SharePoint 2010 to make that migration easier?
Sure. The last four slides that I was covering, the biggest one that I had mentioned is doing like a farm survey and doing test environments. Please build that into your process. If you aren't doing a test environment, your guess is as good as mine. But the reality is, if you have spent time going through this, the documentation will help you out a lot. But do that survey first. Find out what customizations you have. Find out how many site collections, what databases, just so that you don't miss anything. Do it in your test environment and figure out whether there's going to be any issues or not. And by default, I would recommend stay in the 2010 experience for the first month or so. Get people, don't try to force something new on everybody all at once. As a matter of fact, we've already upgraded customers as part of our 365 service, and in many cases, they don't even know that they're on a 2013 farm. So this is a viable solution to help you give you a bit more time and approach this in a more methodical manner.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Hi, Sean. Do the health check rules for the site collection detect JavaScript blocks in the web parts? Just in case users might have added some JavaScript based on the REST API?
So the health checks could do that, but the health checks don't currently do that.
Okay.
As I mentioned when I was covering the particular slide on that, it is possible to extend and build your own health rules. So if that is a concern in your organization, especially if you know that there's specific cases, then you could build health checks for that. If you're running into a lot of problems, or if we start seeing lots of problems through our upgrades, like for example with Office 365, then we will investigate putting additional health rules in. I would warn though that any health rule that goes and looks at individual files and tries to examine the contents of them to look for JavaScript might be kind of slow. So it's something we would take only if we really know the exact problem to look for. Going on a hunting mission for that type of stuff is a little bit more complex than we would normally want to take on, because it's more likely we would block you when we shouldn't than we would allow you to succeed.
Are you able to make warning type health rules? Basically, they don't block the upgrade, they just kind of warn?
Yeah, you could build a warning upgrade or a warning health rule for the upgrade. But if it's a warning, like I said, a person really only sees it because they ran the health checks before, or because that they ran through the upgrade and they looked at the log file afterwards.
Okay.
So a warning is helpful, but if you think it's going to fail the upgrade, it's better to block in that case.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Sean. My question is that for the 2007 to 2010 upgrade, in the attach-sp content database, Commandlet allowed you to upgrade all your site collections during the database attach process. Can you confirm whether or not this will still be available in 2010 to 2013?
Can you say that last piece again? I missed that.
Will we be able to upgrade all the site collections as part of the database attachment process?
Okay. Great question, actually. And the answer is no. You can't automatically upgrade all the site collections as part of the database attach process for version-to-version upgrade. However, this is a very simple thing to solve. If I was going to write a piece of PowerShell, it wouldn't be anything more complex than saying get SP site pipe upgrade SP site dash version upgrade, and it would go through and upgrade every single site collection. If you want to do that in parallel, making multiple PowerShell sessions at the same time, or you want to queue them and let the timer take care of that, you have that option as well. But no, we do not have a single command to do that, mainly because that is something people would... We found when people were doing that with visual upgrade, for example, a lot of the companies who did visual upgrade came back afterward and said, wow, I never would force everybody all at once anymore. I would rather do it a few at a time and then maybe force a bunch later. And then if you were doing the force of a bunch later, you'd use that same PowerShell I was just talking about. Get SP site, pipe, upgrade SP site, dash version upgrade.
Thank you.
When going to Office 365, would all of the information that you've given today be the same for that upgrade from 2010 to 2013 on Office 365?
I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question. It's well, about Office 365.
Yeah, when going to Office 365, mm-hmm. when it is 2013,
yep.
will the upgrade be the same as you've described today?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the demos that I did today were on Office 365. So the experience that I showed you is exactly what an enterprise tenant would see as part of the upgrade, as part of upgrade in Office 365. But what, when we upgrade the individual site collections within that tenant, or when the tenant decides to allow that.
Right, but what about going from on-prem to Office 365, 2010 to 2013?
So on-prem is the same experience. Like, the experience that I demonstrated today was mainly around the experience for an individual site collection administrator within a site collection, whether it be hosted in Office 365 or an on-prem experience. It's the exact same code doing it in both cases. The only difference in Office 365 is there's some additional controls we're using to choose when you can do the upgrade of the site collections so that it isn't something that isn't pushed on everybody all at once. We go through some additional orchestration processes on our end.
I'm sorry, I was also meaning the migration, or would you treat that as a totally separate task?
Would I treat the upgrade?
No. The migration from on-site to Office 365.
Okay, so doing upgrades on-prem or Office 365 are effectively separate from each other as far as it goes for when you would do it. If you're asking about any sort of upgrade from on-prem to Office 365, that's not part of what I'm covering here.
Given the new features in 2013 workflows, have you identified any issues in the upgrade process with either designer workflows or Visual Studio workflows?
Well, the first piece is you got to make sure that especially with Visual Studio workflows, make sure that all the custom workflows that you had built are installed on the 2013 firmware. I guarantee you they won't work. Same with custom actions, et cetera. But as long as they're there, they should continue to work. I know there were some bugs earlier, but those should be fixed. And if they aren't, if we've run into any last-minute ones, I'm sure that we will have it fixed very shortly. As far as the upgrade itself goes, there should be no need for it to change during the upgrade. However, we do not have a mechanism to upgrade from the declarative workflows that you have used in 2010 to the new workflow structure that they've designed as part of 2013. The legacy workflows continue to work as is without changes. It's only if you try to switch to the new ones, you'll have to use a separate process. It's not an upgrade in that case. It's building new workflows and changing which workflows you're using for your document libraries, et cetera.
Okay, thank you.
When you do an evaluation site, what happens to the alerts and the tasks that are email enabled and also the workflows that are in progress?
That's a good question, actually. When we make a copy of the evaluation site, we're making a copy of all the tables associated with that site collection. That does include alerts. So we do not do anything that edits out that those alerts can't fire. So it is possible a person would see alerts from that second location as well because of the way that the alerts are stored in the content database.
We have a lot of custom code that we work, a lot of our governance code that's in the format of WSP files, farm level code. What would our expectations be when upgrading?
Sure. The default will be that you will install your solutions on the 2013 farm and they should continue to operate. However, there is some things, especially if you're developing your own customizations, that you'll want to know about, specifically about where we put resource files and some other things. I cover that in more detail on the session on Wednesday if you want to attend that. It's about halfway through the session and I'll be going into how we look at the solution package and determine which parts of the files go into which directories. Because there is actually on the file system both a 14 and a 15 directory for features as they get installed, but the master directory for things like webconfig and resources is actually frequently in the 15 directory. So we have to do some work there, and it's worth understanding how that's designed.
So that session on Wednesday would give us
yes.
a better understanding as to how much maybe modifications to our existing code and give us.
Yeah, I'll cover that. I'll cover that in a bit of detail. I won't go really deep into those customizations, but I can. I will go through more about how that's structured, and I can take more detailed questions on that after that session if you
Thank
want.
Thank you.
Hi, Sean. I got two questions about the site collection upgrades.
Okay.
When you were talking about the throttles, you said in process numbers. In process this, in process that. Is that an out of process option for upgrade?
Yeah. Basically, when I say in process versus otherwise, what I'm talking about is, are you in the web application pool, the web application process, or are you doing it in the timer process, or are you doing it in the upgrade session in PowerShell? So whenever I'm saying in process, what I'm really referring to is inside the web application. Yes, they're all processes, but that's the one I'm specifically referring to.
So if you are doing it in the timer job or with PowerShell, those throttles wouldn't apply there?
No. In the timer job, the throttles absolutely apply, or one of the throttles does, the database throttle. So there's no, since it does only one site collection at a time serially per timer instance, there's no need for any additional process level throttle for that. And for PowerShell, it also by default honors the database throttle, but there is an option in the upgrade command, upgrade SP site, to say to bypass the throttle, and it'll not use the throttle. The only problem with that is if you do too many of them, you may overload your SQL database.
And my second question was about the eval sites. Is it possible to filter or completely neglect the content for an eval site? Like if you have 10 document libraries, can you selectively eval just one of them?
No. The eval feature basically is making a copy of the entire site collection, so it'll include all the content in that site collection. Down at a detailed level, it's making copies of all the site collection's data, whether it's doing a backup of the whole site collection and restoring it to a different URL and turning it into an eval site, or whether it's making a line-by-line copy of all the rows of data from the database, from the source to the locate and destination. So there is no method of filtering out those pieces. So therefore, it will take as long as it takes, depending on the size of the site collection.
My question is about Office Web Apps. Any additional considerations for farms that have implemented Office Web Apps?
Sure. With the Office Web Apps, first off, now you use a separate farm for your Office Web App. You configure out in when you're building out your 2013 farm, make sure you have a web app farm to point to. And when you do that, then really when you attach the databases, there's some code in there that should fix up any of the legacy, some of the legacy features. It won't fix the PowerPoint broadcast, as I mentioned on the third last slide, but it will allow you to do the upgrade. And web app experience will actually show the newest experience. So there's no 2010 web apps experience. It's the new 2013 experience, regardless of whether your site collection is in 2010 or 2013 experience mode.
Okay, thank you.
How is the upgrade progress going for other Microsoft products such as TFS and BizTalk?
I can't really talk about the other products. I'm not as detailed aware of them. unfortunately. Okay. That's it. Well, thank you, everybody. Hope you have a very good conference, and